máa wáyé lọ́dọọdún. Ẹ wá gbọ́ o. Nítorí òbí tí bí ti ọ̀pọ̀ èrò tájọ́ máa ń ṣe. Táyé ò lè gbà wá dáadáa lọ́dún yìí. Níbi tó tẹ́jú dáadáa. Orí pápá ìṣeré Mimbo Liberty Stadium Òkè-Àdó Ìbàdàn ló ti máa wáyé o. Láṣàlẹ̀ Wednesday January 31 lọ́dún yìí. Bẹ̀rẹ̀ látago mẹ́fà ìrọ̀lẹ́ dago mẹ́fà ìdájí ọjọ́ kejì. Àwọn olórin ẹ̀mí tó ń bọ̀ lọ́dún yìí ni Mike Abdul, Mama Bola Rẹ, Evangelist Adélakùn Ayẹwá, Bísí Aláwìyé Àlùkò, Láolúgbẹ́njó, Bukola Akíadé Sẹ̀wẹ̀lẹ̀ Jésù, Ilájà Akíntúnjẹ Ọlọ́run sọ bẹ́ẹ̀, Ṣadé Taiwo, Babatunmiṣe, Láwe Tẹríba Toríṣe, Ẹsẹ̀ Ìgbẹ́kẹ̀lé, Mose Adéwà, Adégbodù Twins, Bùnmi Akínàánú Omijé Ojúmi, Adéyinka Láṣeyọrí, Káyọ̀dé Oyewọlé, Elisa Vokal, Aduke Gold, Ṣẹ́gun Adéwọlé Kòkòrò, Kinga Jidara, Kidogu Fat, Fáfure Taiwo, Tọ́pẹ́ Ọlájẹ̀ngbèsì, Olúwa Lóni Bísí, àti bẹ́ẹ̀ bẹ́ẹ̀ lọ. Pẹ̀lú àwọn adẹ́rìn pẹ̀kẹ́ níbi Kenny Black àti Wòlíì Àgbà. Àwọn ìránṣẹ́ Ọlọ́run tó máa wà ńbẹ̀ ni Prophet Dr. Ezekiah Oladeji, Prophet P.F. Owa, Pastor Femi Emmanuel, Prophet Taiwo Ojo, Prophet Seyi Bakare, Atolúgbàlejò Reverend Edward Alabi, tó fi mọ́ gbogbo olúkọlúkọ ọ̀tọ̀ òkúlú jankan-jankan tó ń bọ̀. Dr. Olayinka Joel Ayefẹ́lẹ́, MON Olúgbàlejò Àgbà. Judah Mega Press máa ń lo lẹ́jì lọ́dọọdún ni ẹgbà bẹ́ẹ̀. Àṣálẹ̀ ọjọ́ Wednesday January 31 ọdún yìí ni o. Lórí pápá ìṣeré Mimbo Liberty Stadium Òkè-Àdó Ìbàdàn. Ọ̀fẹ́ ni kò sí owó ìwọlé. Judah Mega Press 2024. Bàbá ṣe ń kọrin yìí sí Olúwa láṣàlẹ̀ ọjọ́ yẹn. Bẹ́ẹ̀ ni fèrèsé ọ̀run a máa ṣí. Ire gbogbo tó wà nínú ọdún yìí máa tẹ̀ wá lọ́wọ́ lórúkọ Jésù. Àmì o.
From the Rock City of Nigeria. Rock City of Nigeria. This is Fresh 107.9.
Good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, good souls. Good morning, wherever you're listening. This is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM. I'm Bill Kuta. 2 minutes past the hour, 10 o'clock. The platform comes on your radio Mondays and Wednesdays from 10 o'clock in the morning all the way till 11. We have a conversation, you know, conversation relating to Nigeria, conversation relating to the global space. And this time, I'm not here alone. I have a brilliant individual right here in the studio, a global affairs analyst. But before we jump into the topic of the day, just like I said, we have Chief Mustafa Abdulhakim Owolabi, you know, popularly known as Mal. Thank you so much for joining us right here in the studio.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. So before we jump into the topic of the day, the Secretary of State to the United States of America, you know, yesterday, Anthony Blinken, you know, he arrived to Nigeria yesterday. And this is his fourth visit to Africa, with visits to Cape Verde, Cote d'Ivoire, in Nigeria and Angola. And 2 years ago, he was in Nigeria. But people have talked about whether or not Africans have taken advantage of this visits. What are your thoughts on that one? He's been visiting. Yes. Do you think Africans are taking advantage of this visit, or the visit is just to benefit the United States alone?
Well, we thank you for having me. And we all know that the United States does not go to an area where it doesn't have a strategic interest.
Interest.
Yeah, it's just not flying around the world just to talk to leaders. When U.S. go somewhere, they go there because of their strategic interest.
Yes.
It could be military, it could be economic.
Mm.
So him coming to Nigeria is a major member of OPEC.
Okay.
And any disruption in the production will affect the international world market, will affect the U.S. indirectly. Mm. U.S. domestic audience, their interest is not international, except when it affects their pockets.
Okay.
And if you look at the U.S. market currently, the prices of oil or pump price, just like in Nigeria, had skyrocketed, and you know, election is coming.
Mm.
So they are trying to do everything possible to make sure there's peace in the economic sphere around the world, which invariably will affect the U.S. market.
Okay.
That's one of the things. And of course, we had our share of problem in Nigeria with Boko Haram, insurgency, kidnapping and whatnot. So, and of course, you will realize that US was deeply involved in the negotiation between ECOWAS yes. and the Niger junta.
Yeah, the junta, exactly.
So,
some have said the visit is just to counter, you know, Russian influence into Africa.
Well,
do you agree with that one?
Not totally, but it's part of it.
It's part of it.
It is part of it. US want to exert their dominance in the world.
Mm.
And of course, Nigeria is a major force in Africa.
Okay.
So it is wise for them to come to Nigeria and have a chat with our president and be sure we are still allies.
Mm.
That's the military. We are not allied with Russia.
Okay.
We are a strategic partner in peace with the United States. That's been there for years.
Mm.
So, occasionally, we have variance in our approach to international order.
Okay.
For instance, Nigeria voted against the voters for the ceasefire. U.S. vetoed it. But like you see, the Minister of External Affairs said, Foreign Affairs said, we should dwell more on what we have in common than what we have in disagreement.
Mm.
So that's how he summed it up, because the question was put to him yesterday.
Mm.
We are advocating for freedom for Palestinian people, decision and hostilities.
Yes.
And the U.S., of course, is with Israel. And he said we should focus more on what we have in common.
Hmm.
But we will have differences from time to time, but we are strategically aligned with the U.S. in most of our policies.
Most of the time, they say African leaders, when it comes to, just like I said earlier, well, the U.S. Secretary of State coming into Africa, is it just for the benefit of the U.S. or for the benefit of African leaders?
Mm.
And most of the time we know that when people go to the negotiating table, nobody leaves the negotiating table empty. And most of the time, is it that African leaders lack the negotiating skill? Because earlier this morning, my analyst on our flagship show, Freshly Pressed, he said that most of the time our African leaders, they don't negotiate. They don't bring anything to the table. And I kind of disagree, because he alluded to the fact that the U.S. can't do without us and Africa can't do without the U.S. So that means we have something in common. We have something which each other need. So that means there should be something brought to the table. So is it that African leaders don't know how to negotiate when talking with foreign powers?
I'm not going to go that far. But you say we have something they want, and they have something we want. What are example of something they want that we had that they are not paying for?
Our natural resources.
But is it being taken for free? They are paying for it. The only thing I've seen lately that African leaders go, when they go overseas to talk to this foreign country, they are looking for aid. You know, it is not. You are not looking for partnership. Partnership is when you go abroad and brought Chevron to come and invest and reap resources and you benefit. That's what a commercial relationship is. But when you go there incessantly asking them for aid, then they have to dictate how you run your economy. That's my take on that. For instance, US came here now and talked to Nigeria. We told them we're having security problem. We need them to help us.
Hmm.
So what are you negotiating in that? You are asking for help. You can't negotiate when you're asking for help.
But can the US do without Africa?
The world is interdependent on each other. There's globalization.
Yes, I know.
So nobody can do without each other.
I know. Talking about the dictator, that means for the fact that I'm dictating to you, need my help. I can do without you. I can either. That means I'm begging.
Well, let me give you an insight into something. U.S. has more oil reserve than Nigeria. U.S. can start digging for oil now, and they will be the oil superpower of the world.
Our oil is the best.
The bunny light is
the best. It contains
sulfur.
That's
what you say. But remember, if the war broke out today, U.S. can survive without oil from anywhere in the world. They have reserve. Apart from reserve, they've not even started digging their oil. There are some places they preserve that don't touch. If they wanted to do it, but they want the rest of the world to exhaust their own.
Before they start
doing their own. Do you know during the crisis that we just had, the COVID crisis, there was a time they let fracking, prevalent in the U.S.
They were
throwing oil, crude oil, because they don't have a storage for it. That's when the prices of oil plummeted.
Hmm.
So that's why all the oil rigs in the U.S. are now no longer operating as much as they used to be. So they can produce their own oil, but they would rather use us, let's degrade our own environment because there are environmental concerns in the U.S.
Exactly.
Before you can, before you can start producing.
True.
So they rely on Africa that has no regulation, so to say. Look
yeah.
at the Goni land.
An example,
so,
Goni,
and they
true.
Just pay you peanut and take the oil. You know, because we also need their dollars. Until and when Africa has its own currency, when we start to trade with ourselves.
Just like what Muammar
yes,
Gaddafi wanted.
Yeah, which they would never let happen.
Mm.
Because we, our resources, our currency will be backed by resources.
Okay.
The reason why British pound is so high is because it's backed with gold.
Okay.
I don't know if they are producing gold, but I remember most of the gold they have, they extracted them from Africa.
Africa, exactly.
So until and when we have our own currency, which is a tall order, which is why some people think most of these developed nations are the one powering this insecurity and instability in Africa.
Yes.
Because when we cooperate, we have the population, we have the manpower in terms of our youth, and we have natural resources.
Okay.
So until we do that, that's where we can now confront the West in terms of being a member of the Permanent Security Council, having a seat at the security table, because now we have something people cherish. Now the world is controlled by American dollars, and we don't print dollars.
Okay.
In order for us to be able to speak, we have to produce something that generates dollars, and majority of what we produce now is fossil fuel.
Now that he's here in Nigeria, of what benefit will it be for Nigeria, the Secretary of State? Of what benefit?
Well, I mean, it's not a total waste.
You know, someone said that, the president is, for some time now has been seeking private audience with the U.S. president. Mm-hmm. And I kind of find it unsettles me, sort of, because most of the time we've seen past presidents in the country, immediately they are voted in, they go straight to the White House. Why? I do not know. Now, of what benefit? Now, let's just stick to it. Of what benefit?
Don't forget one thing. United States is our own strategic partner. They buy most of our oil, too. And our currency is kept in reserve with the U.S. government. The amount of dollars we have, our bills are settled in dollars. So we have strategic interest with them. That's not understatement.
Okay.
Beside, it is a tradition, so to say, that new president will visit the U.S. and their high level official will come here. They will go to London also and do the same thing. Don't ask me why, but I just know it happened.
Exactly.
But I'm sure when head of state sits, they discuss strategic interests. Now, Blinken coming to Nigeria pledged. When they requested for help with the security problem, we have challenges. He pledged $45 million.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not cash. It's in arms or surveillance or technology and whatnot.
Hmm.
Also, if you notice one thing, the moment he left Abuja, he's going to Lagos to have what they call a business parley. That is where the money is. What we need most is what they're about to do in Lagos.
In Lagos.
Yeah.
Not the one in Abuja.
No,
the
government, you have to...
Yeah,
exactly. The federal government has to back whatever we're doing.
True.
But the business community will want to know how they can partner with U.S. Business community to attract investment. U.S. does not really invest in anything. They let the private sector. U.S. is a corporation.
True.
It's not a country.
True.
Yeah, the only thing they manage is the army and national security and
but they create a conducive environment.
Exactly. So the business thrive in the United States. The businesses are the one that actually run the country. So he's going to Lagos to create what they call a synergy or a fusion. But in order for that to happen, like I do tell people, when you bring American dollars or European, money to come here and invest, you have to be able to repatriate your money back.
True, and that's a big problem.
Businesses or investment in the U.S. are run by hedge fund and hedge fund managers. And these are private capital. Once you invest into a nation, it has to use profit. And all those money need to be repatriated back to where it comes from.
Okay.
Now, with the crisis we have with our foreign exchange market,
how will it happen? The airlines are complaining.
Exactly. That's the million-dollar question I keep asking. It's okay for you to go abroad and say, oh, bring your capital and come and invest. But they will look at the environment, like, how do I get my money back?
True.
In any business, once you put investment, you want a return. And you want to be able to get both your capital and your interest. And
what I wonder is, even though we copy the U.S. presidential system of government and the way they do business, creating an enabling environment for businesses, why have we not copied that style as well?
Well, like I said,
to create an enabling environment for businesses to thrive.
You just hit the nail in the head. We copy the presidential system of government or federal system of government in America, but we don't practice it.
Well, true federalism, people have always talked about
that. We are practicing what they call pseudo-federalism. Like, when you look at the government of the United States, the municipal, which is our local government, have power. They conduct elections.
Yes.
It's not, we are FINEC. So the election is conducted at the primary level, at the municipal level. Schools are the responsibility of the state and primarily the municipal, which is the local government.
Yes.
Now you still have Board of Education in the state that control what they do with the education at the local level. Most of the roads, except federal highways, are constructed by the local government, or what they call municipal government in the United States.
Okay.
The municipal government have their own judiciary. They control their own court system. You know, when you go to court or jail or county or prison, they control their own.
True.
So they have their own municipal police, the municipal sheriff. We don't have all those things. So we have what I call pseudo-federalism. And when people clamor for constitutional amendment and all this, I said, even the one we've invested billions of dollars into over the year, we have not even done it properly. The federal system of government can work if it is done sincerely and according to the book. But we don't do that.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's not the conversation we're to have this morning, okay? We just had to just digress a little bit. We're going to be going into the proper conversation, but we need to go on this quick break. And when we're back, we're taking it outside the borders of Nigeria, but we're staying in Africa. Stay with us.
Arrival torin talujo to gayata latowo Babatunde Kazim Olaya Kezi Wonder.
Hey, family love you, hey, say di pokiga o daga.
Omo ton so ni gboro aye pelu edo ki orin to ni tumo oya etugba
olulu si anybody oya bosa gojo.
Kezi Wonder tun fori gba awon elesin ni moran pe ko ye kesi o le faja rara be gele lo kori lori ori
ori la la maru
ewo ta lo so pe ko poke arrival orin fuji to koja be Monday February 5 ni o jade faraye gbo lakata ile ise A1 Media Network Limited agba producer Laiwola Adisa lo producer bo se wa lori CD lo wa lori audio mark pelu Apple Music lati salagbata re e le pe ile ise A1 sori number 0902-961-2301 arrival orin tutun latowo Kezi Wonder ebo witiwiti ke tun download e laarin opolopo bolon fe orin ni.
We're back on radio. It is still the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station. We have Chief Mustafa, otherwise called, popularly called Mao. So glad to still have you right here in the studio.
Thank you.
Let's continue with the conversation. Just like we said, Abinishu, we told you that we're going to be going outside the borders of Nigeria, but we're staying here in Africa. And most importantly, we're going to be looking at the issues bordering on crisis in Africa. This time we shall be focusing on and addressing issues on humanitarian crisis in Africa. Now, whether it be forced migration, dealing with hunger, and in fact, issues of refugees, I did read something on United Nations some days back, which made me to decide that we need to have a conversation on this issue. I saw pictures of people who were running away from the conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mm-hmm. Let's not even talk about the Tigray crisis. You know, the Tigray crisis that started in 2020. I also went online to see pictures of places and in Uganda, you know, which houses most of the refugees in Africa. You know, like the, I had to write them down, like the Kiakatu refugee settlement, the Palorinha refugee settlement, the Rhino refugee settlement, and a host of others. But one thing that stood out is majority of the people in those refugee camps are from Sudan. And there are so many Sudanese who are homeless in Uganda. Looking at those pictures, you know, I saw young men, young women mm-hmm. who have big dreams. But because of the war stories, the war thing, they can't achieve their dream. Those who wanted to be a doctor, to be engineers, but now they are displaced persons. Their dreams shattered because of the war. And you begin to wonder that why do we even have this crisis? Why didn't we do everything to nip it in the bud? Why go to war in the first place? And that's why we are having this conversation. Now, in a new report, events in Africa are being underreported in the media as global attention, you know, shifts to conflicts in Europe and the Middle East. We're talking about the Gaza, but we're not talking about what's happening in Africa. Now, according to the United Nations statistics, it says that more than 7 million people have been displaced since the war broke out in Sudan in April last year. And more than 200 people have starved to death in Ethiopia's drought hit and war-scarred Edaga Abbey in the Tigray region since July last year. And also the country's food crisis, talking about Ethiopia's food crisis, could mm-hmm. even be worse than it was 40 years ago if there isn't a prompt action. So when we even talk about the crisis in the country, we fail to take into account people who take refugees with friends, who take refuge with friends in other towns, in family. I even heard of a story of a man and his wife that hosted 46 refugees in their one-room apartment. According to the UN, Africa has more than 26% of the world's refugee population. It has an estimated 6.3 million refugees and more than 14.5 million internally displaced persons. So there are more and more refugees from South Sudan from anywhere else in Africa. Uganda, Sudan, and Ethiopia are among the top 10 refugee hosting countries in the world. So that's why you're here, to have this conversation with me. But, Mao, my first question is, why has the issues and crisis in Africa, you know, continued without any stop? For some people, we thought that the situation in the Central African Republic was the worst until we saw what happened in Tigray. And now we are still looking at the situation in Sudan.
Ethiopia.
So why Somalia. Do we think that this conflict has continued and there's not been any way to address or even put a stop to it?
Well, thank you for your question, and thank you for shedding light on this unending crisis.
Yes.
Africa, as we know it, has one major problem.
Okay.
We know it's not resources. We know it's not manpower. We know we don't have problem with money. Hmm. We have problem of leadership.
Leadership.
And it's unfortunate. I've told people on different fora that when Nigerians leave the shore or Africans leave the shore and go overseas, they excel. But back home,
the story is
different. The same thing with leadership. We have laws that we do not abide by. We have rules we do not follow.
Okay.
United Nations was created purposely to maintain peace and stability all around the world.
Right after the Second World War.
I would not even want to talk about what happened in Gaza. We've said that it's heartbreaking and heart-wrenching every day you look at the television. But before Gaza, Sudan has been on fire.
True.
Republic of Congo, Eritrea itself, Somaliland, all over. And when you look at the etiology of this problem, it's leadership crisis.
Oh dear.
Somebody fighting over the resources. Somebody feel marginalized and oppressed. I mean, that's how it started. You have a president in Sudan that ruled forever. And he become a tyrant. And when he was finally overthrown, people have hopes that things are going to be okay. Then, boom, they broke into crisis. The president and the deputy, or the chairman of the revolution and the deputy.
Yes.
And they've been immersed in this imbroglio for God knows how long. But, and we also know when there is crisis, it's only the downtrodden that suffers. Not the rich and affluent one. They fly their children overseas and they have fortified army that protect them or their palaces. But the average people on the streets, like what I call Yafatai, Yakamoru in Nigeria, those are the ones that are displaced. Those are the ones, the terrorists, you know, because there's this label we put on there is with some people. Somebody's terrorist, somebody's freedom fighter.
Some call them cannon folders.
Yeah. So they go out destroying villages and town in the name of, you know, grabbing land or grabbing territories, because they know once you have an armed resistant, then you have a seat at the table whenever they're going to have a peace meeting. That is how it works. Once you create an enclave of your own and you conquer some area, then they recognize you. Whenever there's going to be a peace meeting or they're going to share resources, you be part of it. And some of them even carry arms just to grab the resources, be it gold, be it even for, look at this crisis in Sudan. South Sudan, North Sudan, they've divided, even though they are not recognized, they've divided the middle of it, where the border is where the resources is. One is landlocked, and the other one is the army, the Sudanese army that's controlling it. But they are all eyeing the resources in the middle. Which
it's
is the
not about the people. No, it's about the resources.
That is why we are in perpetual crisis. Even when you have coups, they plan a coup against the leader, be it democratic, be it not.
Yes.
And they always have a reason that the democratically elected government is not looking after the people. But they got in and they are worse than...
They are worse than the people they chased away.
So until when Africans and African leaders decided they want to better the plight of their people with good government. Oh, no, everybody will not be president.
True.
And the way I think it's from our past, what they call our tradition, that once you're on top, you become, even when you are elected, you turn the resources of the state into you, like the kings and queen. Even though it was supposed to be a democracy where you share resources among the region that form your political, geopolitical situation or country. But in our own case, once you become president or prime minister, so to say, I don't know, some countries still uses it, the resource of the state becomes your personal resource. And then people are looking and like, okay, you're asking us to sacrifice, but you are living lavish lifestyle. So that's where mutiny start happening and people start planning, okay, we need to get rid of them, either through political means or through the gun. And we all know the easiest way to get rid of a government is through armed struggle.
Oh dear.
Politics is not very easy to play for you to win an election.
The bloodshed is too much.
When you have wars, Africans are merciless. And you got to understand that it is easy to start a war.
Than to end it.
No, it's not easy to end it.
True.
And once you start a war, then you have external influences. Because how many of them make ammunitions in Nigeria?
Because someone benefits from the war. There's a war economy.
When there's a war... then there's no structural control of the resources.
True.
So whoever has the might can grab it. And there are willing buyers on our Mediterranean Sea waiting to exploit it.
Willing buyers, willing sellers.
Yes. I mean, when you are in war, you need money, you need arms. So these armed mercenaries, or what they call armed dealers from overseas, they will bring, they have them on the high sea with guns and
ready to sell to sell anyone
and to get something in return. So as long as there's a willing supplier of arms to the war-torn country, the war will not end, and there are resources that they have access to. That is why we are where we are. And when those people start their drama, they don't think about the larger population. It's now self, concept of self. They want power, and what they're doing with power is to siphon the resources
until
there is, and it's not even possible, because let me give you an example of the United Nations.
Okay,
they can come down now and pass a resolution. The resolution is meaningless if it cannot be enforced. Who does the enforcement? The superpowers.
True.
And they've created something they call veto power. So if Gbenga wants something, I want something different, and the six member
in the Security Council
have voted for this thing, and I have a single veto power, it becomes null and void.
Exactly.
Exactly. It becomes null and void.
Exactly.
And every member of the Security Council have strategic interests. Just like US and Nigeria. Now, if something was going on and the US is going to vote, it's going to vote with Nigeria. Russia might not necessarily vote with us.
Sure.
So that is where the conundrum, the problem is, where you have not democratized the system and say, okay, if four people voted for this, then it becomes a law.
So there is no democracy.
There's no democracy. That's why a lot of people are agitating that when you have organization, even like OAU or whatever, there should be, it should be democratic, and there should be an army to enforce it. You see, the
many have called that if there's an army, it goes against the sovereignty.
Well, then
look at the issue of Niger.
I agree with you, but why forming the organization? What is it for? You are to keep peace, and sometimes peace needs to be enforced.
Sure.
You know, the peacekeeping mechanism need to have teeth. Sanctions are one of them.
But sanctions seems to be... It
doesn't work, because there's always people to circumvent the sanction.
Sure.
There's always a way out. The sanction has been on Iran for years, and the country is still standing, getting stronger. So you have to have an organ that will enforce. And I'm not talking about international court. International court can pass laws. If the U.S. does not enforce that law, it doesn't work. So that's why the onus still lies on the superpower to actually be reasonable in their approach towards crisis.
All right, those who fan the embers of war and those who fight wars, most of the time they don't care about the aftermath or the outcome of the war. Just like you said, it's easy to start a war, but to end a war, some would say that, it took a gunshot to start the World War One and a gunshot to end it. Now, let's talk about
prompt. It took a nuclear weapon to end.
A nuclear weapon. Now, let's talk about prompt action now. In the Tigray region, the food crisis that has hit that part of Ethiopia, if prompt action is not taken, it could lead to more people starving to death. So let's talk about prompt action, because we don't know what is happening in Chad at the moment, and another round of crisis could even break out there, according to what we're hearing. But across Africa, the displacement figure is between 20 to 25 million. So what could be a prompt action that needs to be done to deal with these issues, especially the drought situation in Tigray?
Well, the only thing that we can that can be done is resettlement.
Resettlement.
Yes, and even resettlement requires some military intervention or creation of what they call humanitarian corridor, which has to be agreed to by the warring party. And we know in most cases they don't agree. In fact, there has been some situation where humanitarian aid being supplied to the country is being hijacked and looted.
But there's an OAU refugee convention that was signed, you know, in 1969, you know, but why are they are not obeying it? That's the problem.
That's the same thing we just finished talking about. You can pass resolution and war and the laws. How do you enforce it without an army?
Without an army.
You understand? We've had instances where even the humanitarian aid workers are being kidnapped and killed during the wars.
Okay.
You know, so until and when you have a standing peacekeeping army.
Like the ECOMOG.
Yeah, like the ECOMOG, but it would be for peacekeeping only.
For peacekeeping.
Like, for instance, in terms of this famine or hunger we're talking about.
Yes.
They can define their role that it's not an interventionist role, but a humanitarian role.
Okay.
That when things happen like that, they are to either by force or by fire, they can create a humanitarian corridor and said, no fly zone in this region, in this area. And either they agree to it or not, they will deploy army to just maintain that, just to make sure.
They encounter disgruntled elements who might want to attack them, and they just return fire.
Yeah, just for humanitarian purposes.
Yes.
Just to prevent this massive humanitarian deaths, famine and diseases, because people are dying of hunger, lack of medicine, even lack of basic things like water. And we know most of this region are dry lands where they barely have water, except when you use advanced technology to excavate water for them to eat. So until OAU as an organization develop a TIT, now they are just an association of countries.
Now we're going to talk about the AU. Okay, let's talk about the lack of political will and resources to adhere to the laws that we talked about. Early, we talked about the 1969 OAU Refugee Convention, you know, which this African leaders jointly signed. Some would say is most arguably the most progressive when it comes to convention as it regards the protection of refugees. Now, why are African leaders in the AU not showing capacity to do something urgent to stop this mindless wars?
Well, let me give you an example of why we're having that problem. Apart from political will, I don't even think we have the resources. Take Nigeria for example.
Okay.
We are bogged down with our own insecurity. That is one part. Political crisis, we are barely managing it. We also have economic crisis, because in order for you to be able to do certain things, you need to have the financial muscle to do it. We are involved in debt, and if you check most African countries apart from Egypt that get a lot of aid from the US or Algeria, South Africa developing economy, most of us are in debt. So where do we have the resources to go and spend in tackling other crises?
We're not the same Nigeria as it was when ECOMOG was still ECOMOG.
So we are not the same Nigerians of those years where we have abundance of resources and it's properly managed. Now we are in debt up to our eyeballs. So are other African countries.
Yes.
And people keep asking, why do we keep borrowing this money? Most of the activity we embark on is backed by dollars. We don't have our own money. And then the little resources we have is being looted.
Oh, dear.
So you see the problem we find out until we're able to develop our economy.
Okay.
And then the OAU, as it is called, develop a political will and a military will to be able to curtail crisis or what they call an intervention in force. In some cases, it might be necessary to prevent all this massacre or death by hunger that is happening. I mean, it happened in Kosovo. The U.S. has to intervene before they can have peace. So sometimes you need an intervention forces. But who is going to manage it? Who has resources to expend? Because intervention forces are very expensive. Except if the United Nations come to our aid, how do we even implement it? You know, then you have the problem of sovereignty. But when there is war, those arguments might be able to go out of the window to some extent if you have a massive force that can overrun them.
Okay.
Just for humanitarian sake, not to go take over other countries.
Exactly. It's better so we need that, to put
that's
that
one of our
in.
Major problems.
But remember, you can also be a part of this conversation. Okay, we're talking Africa, humanitarian crisis in African region. The numbers to call is 0815-432-1079. 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. 0818-111-1079. We're live on Facebook. On Facebook, it is Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. And you can also use the X platform at Fresh FM, Abeokuta. At Fresh FM, Abeokuta. You can also do WhatsApp as well. All right, you can also use the WhatsApp platform to drop your comments on the conversation. So, still talking about the African Union. Okay, let's see who is here. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hello? Okay. We lost that call. 0815-432-1079. 0818-111-1079. Okay, so let's still talk a little more on the African Union. Okay, because some persons have argued, and sometimes I hold that opinion sometimes, okay, that the African Union does little or nothing to stop the mindless killings and protection of human rights in Africa. And my question to you is, does the African Union have the wherewithal to hold African leaders to account when they feel this mindless wars in their countries? And the big another question is, does sanctions still work?
The only leverage you have against a sovereign nation is sanctions.
Sanctions.
And you don't have any force that can go into other country at this time and intervene because of the sovereignty. And most of these problems are political crises. If you look at, it's either a military takeover of a democratically elected government or a country breakaway from the main country. So they are all political problems that require political solution. In peace building, mechanism has not really been exploited by the African leaders. But again, we go back to the issue of internal problem within the country.
Yes.
If you are not even able to get a handle on your own country, do you even have time to go
helping others?
Other country. That is one of your major problems right
okay.
now. There is no peace or stability within even the country that appear to be democratic, that appear to be doing okay. And then there are external forces that are causing problems. For instance, the problem in Libya was unwarranted. Oh, Libya have a nuclear weapon.
Many have argued on that fact.
Yeah, it's unwarranted. And up to
until
now,
they've not known peace.
They have not resolved.
Because Gaddafi was like a stabilizing factor there.
Even as bad as the Western world think he is, but at least the country was prosperous. They have free healthcare, free education.
Sure.
You know, people are
lots
doing well.
Lots of goodies for them.
I mean, it might be a dictator, as they call it, but the people in his country were living well.
Living really fine.
But compare it to what they have now. So will you say the war has been justified? People have made the same argument about Saddam Hussein, that when he was there, it was a stabilizing force.
True.
Because some places need some form of democracy, which I will not advocate.
Let's pick up this call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. All right, apologies. Okay, let's continue.
I think it's the telephone.
Yeah,
so some places need some, what do they call them? Strong men.
Strong men.
Yeah, some places need it. Some other places need democracy. And a lot of people have argued something, that the importation of Western democracy has been our greatest misdoing in Africa.
A former president said something, so that we need Afro-democracy.
We have our own system of governance before we import all this Western democracy that we cannot fully implement.
Okay, let's see. Hello, good morning. Okay.
I think it's a different line for them.
All right, then. Let's continue.
So, a lot of people have argued that the importation of these foreign democracies has been our greatest undoing.
Okay.
And if you look at all the problem that has engulfed African nation, you can see some argument on it. But then, having invested this much in the democracy, is it time now to reverse the trend? I would argue no. That is where we are as a continent. Until we're able to develop our economy fully, and then our political structure fully, then we'll be able to now come together as a unit and be able to fight any insurgency or political crisis in other nations. But as it is now, every country with their own problem.
All right, then let's go on this quick break. And when we're back, okay, we're going to be looking at the refugee protection. Okay, we're going to be looking at refugee protection. Don't touch that radio. We'll be right back.
Kaninu reajo 41 days sustain and pray. Olododo ti Olorun ase fun woli. Sam Oluwa lo baba da mi gbogbo. Tati fúnre rí ẹ. Saturday àti Sunday ọ̀sẹ̀ yìí ni. Saturday 27 and Sunday 28. Gba gbogbo rẹ̀ padà.
Inú ìrìn àjò 41 days. Àkànṣe ọ̀sán kan orúkọ ni Jesus City. Ọlọ́run Sàmúlùwà lọ ní kó wá gba ìkọlọ rẹ̀ padà.
Gbogbo ẹni tó ti jà olólè ògùn. Wọ́n máa kàjàgbọ̀n kàkàrẹ́jẹ́gbọ̀n. Nígbà tí ẹ̀mí Ọlọ́run yóò máa torí rẹ̀ dìde ìgbénijà. Gba ẹ̀tọ́ rẹ̀. Ire ìrànlọ́wọ́. Ìgbédìde rẹ̀ padà. Ìwọ́sẹ̀ ti máa bọ̀ kájọ gbàdúrà. Níbi tí àdúrà ti ń gbà. Nípasẹ̀ fi olólórí wòlíì Sàmúlùwà lọ. Bàbá Adámi Mógò pẹ̀lú ọ̀pọ̀ olórí ẹ̀mí bíi Táíwò Òjòdú, Tèmítọ́pẹ́ Ọmọ Alágbàwí, Kẹ́mi Ríógbò. Ẹ má gbàgbé àyè wọn náà wọn kan sẹlẹ̀ máa wà láti rí wòlíì lọ́jọ́ Saturday 27 àti Sunday 28 January. Gbogbo ẹ̀rí sí AC Grace of Mercy, Adámi Mógò Jesus City, Ìbẹ̀jù Lẹ́kí Expressway, Ìlàmìjà Village, Alaro Lega. Nínú pàdé ọ̀sẹ̀ kan orúkọ eléyìí ni lọ́sẹ̀ gangan a máa gba ẹ̀kọ́ rẹ̀ fún ọ lórúkọ Jésù.
All right, then we're back on radio. It is still the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM. I'm Bill Kuta. We're still talking about humanitarian crisis. Okay, we're still looking at humanitarian crisis. And we still have Chief Mao right here in the studio. So let's still talking about the African Union and improving refugee protection. Is the African Union really serious about improving refugee protection? Because I know there was a time when it was a thing of pride to host people who had to flee from other countries, right? Because it is considered as pan-Africanism. Mm-hmm. Is the African Union powerless here when it comes to protection of refugees, when it comes to, you know, catering for refugees, supporting countries that cater for refugees? Is the African Union powerless here?
Well, it depends on the structure set up by the Union. It is labor-oneness that we do right now. When people flee into our country, we resettle them, we take care of them.
Yes.
But the concerted effort of the OAU has not been felt in this crisis at all, anywhere. In fact, there's been the presence of UN has made a lot more difference than even African Union.
Okay.
I've not seen a place where they've built refugee camp. They might have sent aid here and there, but United Nations has done most of the refugee resettlement or for the internally displaced people.
Okay.
Or this, but we come back to the same thing. You still need protection for even the UN staff, or even if it's African staff, of humanitarian corridor for the impact of the aid that's coming in to be felt by the citizens. You know, without a protection or a humanitarian corridor, you can have millions of dollars of weight on the high sea. We have nowhere to go. And even those that have been discharged, there are reports that even the armed group has been invading the refugee camp the humanitarian warehouses, looting them and taking them into their own enclave. So I don't think there's been a formidable structure from the OAU to be able to protect and help the humanitarian situation in Africa.
In Africa.
And until the leaders come together and formulate a stringent policy that will help to alleviate the suffering of the people, I'm sorry to say that the menace will continue.
Now, let's go back to the root causes of crisis in Africa, which in turn leads to refugee crisis. Some have argued that African leaders, you know, staying too long in power, and the power struggle. ECOWAS, for example, played a huge role in the Yahya Jammeh situation in Gambia, when he said, "Oh, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do this." Oh, his small GOD told him to do this. He's been doing miracles. And you remember all those things he said? Oh, he said, now we have Adama Barrow. But ECOWAS played a huge role in that situation in Gambia. Now, how can the AU do same? Like, show its powers on sovereign states in Africa with leaders who want to stay in power more than the usual? We have the Paul Biya of this world. in Cameroon. We have, I think, in Angola. We also have
Omar al-Bashir did the same
Omar
thing.
Omar al-Bashir, exactly. Yeah. Even Cote d'Ivoire, Alassane Ouattara. You know, I have my issues with him too. But can the AU actually, you know, deal with this sovereign state in Africa with leaders who want to stay in power more than usual? Because it's also one of the root causes.
Because of sovereignty, there is little or nothing much AU
can do.
Well, it has to be internal. Any, when you have political crisis, most of the, apart from the fact that when it becomes a humanitarian problem, it has to be internally generated. Any intervention, maybe militarily from the outside, will be seen as infringement on their sovereign
power.
But what US used to do back in the day is to support a democratic process, and in some cases they've supported them with arms to overthrow dictators. I mean, we see what happened in Libya. They tell you the uprising, but we know,
but they
somebody
supported the militia
to be able to overthrow the government. Those are things that are visible. However, there has to be a cooperative agreement within the AU itself that they want to go that route, because remember, they also are head of countries. So whatever you formulate, they want to be sure it's not something that's coming back.
That's
to
not
them.
Coming back. Okay.
Most countries have term limits. The leader just don't adhere to it. Like in Nigeria, it's 8 years.
8 years is 8 years.
And in most countries, they have the rule. There are maybe five years, two term. But you see them changing the constitution in the middle of shifting the goalpost to suit their own narrative. That's
why I have issues with Alassane Ouattara. You know,
so
there were some
people,
sort of changes.
They change and say, okay, my people want me, but you know, are you the only person that can serve?
Yeah,
my,
so some people came to beg me to still stay in power.
So are you the only person that can serve? And they manipulate elections and election officers and all this stuff.
But how come we don't have psychology? We have a president in Africa like Rwanda. Okay, he's been in power since I think right after the crisis in 94. And yet there's no crisis there. Is it that they've been, you know, keeping the opposition or the naysayers, like keeping them short, that they can't talk, or the man is doing right by everybody?
Well, even
talking about
right,
Paul Kagame,
even if you are, yes, even if you are doing right by everybody, you are not a king. There's a time limit. Are you the only person in the country that can do right?
It seems so.
Yeah. So that is where the argument comes into the fore. Like, okay, the country has a constitution.
Okay.
But they keep shifting the goalposts to their purpose. And eventually, there will be an uprising. Then we will end up in another war. Because if you have a rule that you do not follow and think you are the only one can do it, what happens if you die? But most of these leaders don't think about that. They always think about self-preservation, and they keep extending the time. But that's why I say again, it is internal. It's only from there they can revolt. Nobody from other country can come and say, oh, you've spent too much time.
Exactly.
No, it's sovereignty. But the people from within that country can decide they don't want him anymore.
Sure.
Unfortunately, when these people gain power, you cannot do that thing by democratic will, because they control all the apparatus of government.
Exactly.
And even the election. And that is one of the examples how war breaks out. Because if a coup happened in that country right now, it might not end the way they want it to be.
Exactly.
And then it becomes whoever has the biggest might win the race, or maybe it never ends.
Okay.
So like we have in Sudan now, they overthrow al-Bashir, I think it's going to be okay. But they've never known peace since then.
True.
So African leaders need reorientation. I don't want to use the word psychological evaluation. In their DNA to just perpetuate themselves in power, they don't want to leave.
Okay.
Until those psychological thinking changes or change, that we can now start to think about peace. Because peace only comes through fairness and justice for all. Without justice, there's no peace. That is one of our major problems in Africa.
All right, as we close, to my final question to you will be, the crisis going on in Africa is not getting the required media attention. Most of the time when you open the news, we look at the Israel-Gaza-Palestinian war, we hear the Russia-Ukraine war, but nobody talks about the Ethiopian issue. Nobody talks about the Sudan issue. We only hear about them, once it's June, World Refugee Day, that's when they talk about. What is responsible for this? Is it that the media is cherry-picking here to say, okay, this the Israel-Palestinian war is the trending one, but the situation in Africa is huge.
Well, the problem with that lies with the media, and it actually lies squarely with the international media.
The international media.
Yes. How many international media do we have in Africa? The major international media are in the Western world, and they choose and pick what suits their government, what they want to hear. Even Israeli-Gaza war now is being censored on CNN. You cannot see most of the atrocity on CNN.
Al Jazeera will show you.
Exactly. But CNN will not show it. BBC will do it to some extent, but they are all closely aligned with their government.
Mm.
So that is the problem. The media itself, people say media itself is corrupt. You know, that is part of corruption. When you see the truth and you cannot report it.
Mm.
And Nigerian media are not exempted, because the more noises you make, it will filter onto the global network, and eventually they'll be forced to cover it. Mm. Otherwise, who's going to help us if we don't help ourselves?
Absolutely. I've been speaking with Chief Mustafa Abdulhakim Owolabi, popularly known as Mal. Thank you so much for coming right here into the studio to have this conversation with me.
Thank you for having me.
I love your outfit.
Thank you very much.
Pure Egba man.
Egba to the core.
But anyway, thank you so much for having this conversation with me.
I appreciate the honor. Thank you very much.
And as the size of our package on the platform, this beautiful Wednesday morning. We'll be back again next week, Monday, by the special grace of God. Good morning and have a beautiful Wednesday.
Hearing the best makes you feel your best.
Download the Fresh FM app on your Android phone, tablet to listen to Fresh FM
anywhere in the world.
To download, go to Google Play Store and App Store. Search for Fresh FM Nigeria. Select the icon, tap, and install for free. Follow the on-screen instructions, complete the installation, and get our content anywhere under the sun in real time. The Fresh FM radio app is all in one. You can listen live, watch us live, see our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram posts, and news updates. The Fresh FM Nigeria mobile app can be downloaded on Android and iOS. As you use the Fresh FM app, review and rate our app. We're available 24/7 for more updates. Thank you for choosing Fresh as the best with Oakrest.
Ẹjẹ́ ká tọ́jú ilé, ká tọ́jú ara wa, ká sì tún tọ́jú àyíká wa pẹ̀lú, káàrùn àtàìsàn ó lè ba jìnà sí wa. Fresh FM ló ní ìmọ́tótó ṣe pàtàkì.
All the artists live here.
Hi, this is Rihanna.
Hey, this is Beyonce.
Hey, it's Chris Brown.
The hottest radio station.
Fresh 107.9, where we keep you fresh all day.
Ìfagagbága kọ̀mẹ́sẹ̀ ó yọ ti bẹ̀rẹ̀ láàrin àwọn ìkànnì tí ń gbóhùn sáfẹ́fẹ́. Àlà ni ó fokú ọlẹ́ hàn bí kún lónú kò bí pàkúté ni. Ìbílẹ̀ ò ti tẹ́jú láti jìnyẹnkẹ́. Fèrè dún, ó yẹ o, èrùkú sọ lálá. Ẹnìkan forígbé, ìkejì fàyàgbá, ó fẹsẹ̀ tásẹ́nì kẹta. Kó tó débẹ̀, ẹlòmíì gbà lọ́wọ́ ẹ̀, ó mọ̀ sí o, ilẹ̀ ti yọ. Kàbàkàbà ó sáré dìde,
Fresh 107.9 FM. Akogun laarin awon ikanni toku.
O nikan lo le ge o ya je ri ese nje yin ma du le gbere sare be ti se mo gbo re o awon osele to sele lori odo yala bola lafese gba ese kikan bole leyan lafejo gba lori konkere ta mo si tennis ere daraya ere sisa ati be lo nikan ni to mile kikiki Fresh FM 107.9 to wa ni abi okuta ago mokan lo wuro titi di ago 12 le mo gbo lojo aji ojo monday si ojo abameta saturday